In Genesis chapter 9, we are reading verses 1 through 29. In His Word, the whole chapter, Genesis chapter 9. And Genesis chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of God. And so give your attention fully to Him. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and all that move on the earth and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." And God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. As far as in God's Word, it's here where the Lord first commands mankind to eat of the creatures and not merely the plants of the earth. There in the first few verses combined with the command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. At the same time, you see the Lord condemn murder, verses 5 through 6. And right after that, again, he says, be fruitful and multiply. And that is still applied to us today, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In verses 8 through 11, the Lord promises in covenant to never again send a worldwide flood that would destroy and cut off all flesh again. And as a reminder of that, a sign and as a seal of that covenant promise, verse 12 and through 17, the Lord promises that sign and seal of the rainbow. Verse 16, it says, "The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I," that's God, "I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Then the last verses, we have a passage about the drunkenness of Noah and Ham uncovering his nakedness to his brothers. We see the modesty of Shem and Japheth, for which they are blessed, but because of Ham's impudence and modesty, he's cursed. Verse 25. The descendants of Ham would be those, as it says here, he is the father of Canaan. That's the promised land. That's the land where Israel entered into. That his descendants would be greatly destroyed when Israel entered in. All those who were not destroyed then would become servants of God's people. Even if we remember under Solomon, when they built the temple, he called, if you remember from Chronicles, he called those who were not of Israel, but who were Canaanites, the many varieties of Canaanites. He made them slaves or servants to build the temple. And that as part of the curses of God because of what happened here. The passage ends declaring Noah's death. In this passage, we ought to remember the grace of our Lord every time we see a rainbow on the backside of a storm, that he will not again destroy all flesh through a flood. And then by remembering his grace and then remembering his mercy, to be further heightened in zeal for the Lord and obedience unto him in Jesus Christ. Because remember why the flood came in the first place, because of the wickedness was great on the earth. So we ought to obey the Lord in Christ and be moved to do so when we see the rainbow. Something for your parents to teach about, you parents to teach your children, young children about when they're growing up, and grandchildren. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful as we come to continue worshiping you. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you breathe out to us life and the means of grace. We're thankful for the sign and seal of the rainbow. It is a reminder to us, just as it's a reminder to you, of your everlasting covenant to never again destroy all flesh by a flood, by a worldwide flood. Our Father, we give you praise that you're a God who is so gracious, not only to your church, but in this case, you say, to all flesh. We know this is not saving grace, but it is grace nonetheless. It is favor that is undeserved because of our wickedness and sin that we continue in. And even all the sin that's going on in the world and people are entering into, and yet still you keep your promise never to destroy all flesh because of our wickedness by a flood. But there is a time coming when you will judge all. And you will judge them by your word in Christ, your Son, who's the mediator king. And Father, we pray then, as that is true, that we would turn from our sins today, that we would turn unto Christ and pledge our allegiance unto him, that he would receive, at least from our souls, the crown that he deserves and that he already has. May he be given all glory and praise and honor, that he would increase and we would decrease. And Father, as we do consider our sin, Father, we come confessing it. We've broken your commandments. We will hear about your commandments this morning. We've broken all of them. In thought, in word, in deed. Even in our feelings, in our desires, we have turned from you. And so, Father, turn us back to you. Turn us back to your Son, Jesus Christ, from our sin. Grant us your mercy by not condemning us and judging us on the spot as you have done so many times throughout the Scriptures. And you've probably done throughout the history of the church at times and occasions. But to us, Father, we ask and plead that you be merciful, not because we deserve your mercy, but because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And his name would be praised and glorified and honored and lifted up and exalted. Father, we plead that you would forgive us of our sins and cleanse us and sanctify us, that you would make us to be holy as Christ is holy. Father, so too, just as all peoples in Noah's day turned from you, and you saved but the one family of Noah, Father, in our day, there are many who are wicked on the earth, and pray for their salvation, that your elect would be brought in, the sheep would be brought into the fold, in within the gates, and through the gate, Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you and we're thankful that you have given us government. You tell us to be thankful in 1 Timothy 2 with prayer and supplication for them, because you desire all men to be saved, as we'll hear this morning, even rulers and kings. And we're thankful for the government you've given us, although very hard and difficult to be thankful for, and with our grumbling and complaining hearts and seeing wrong in all places. It's very difficult to see the good things that you've brought about through our government. And yet there are many things that are there that are good. And for those we give you praise. For we are still today worshiping you. We are still able to gather together. We are still able to come to our homes and to have roads to travel on and have police who seek after justice, and pray, of course, for those who would seek injustice through that office, that you would judge them. But Father, we thank you for those who are upright and good. Thankful for those who are firefighters. Thankful for Shane and those who seek to help others when they're in distress. And all these are aspects, parts of our government we can be thankful for. And so we thank you because, and we thank you in your Son because he is King over all. But Father, we also pray for those who are wicked. You would turn them unto Christ. You cause them to love your Son. That they would bow the knee. That they would pledge their allegiance to him. That they would rule according to your word. And yet this week we're reminded again how wicked they are. Not all of them, but many. We're reminded how wicked they are, the judges who say that in Nevada, for instance, they can meet and worship money and casinos, as many as desire to be gathered, like 500 or so in a casino, and other places like that, but there cannot be more than 50 in a church. Father, we pray that you would rebuke and condemn those judges for their wickedness and their hypocrisy. Father, we pray for those in California and the church in California and Nevada. We ask that you would be with those churches who have been told they cannot worship. And specifically, I believe it is they cannot worship inside. Pray that they would worship outside. Or that they would worship inside. Pray also that as they've been commanded not to by the government, commanded not to sing, that they would render unto you what you command, that they sing your praises. We pray even for some of us here, for our own state in Missouri, amendment or whatever it is that their people will vote on soon, that will allow aborted fetal cells or something like that. I forget what it is. Something to do with abortion. That would allow those to be used in the state. We pray that that would be voted down. And they and all the people of Missouri would bow to Christ. Because we ought not to be murdering children. We ought to be fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth. Father, in all this, in many difficult situations with application of what we're hearing in Romans 13 and the Scriptures, there's many difficult applications to make. We need wisdom, so we ask for wisdom in these days. We pray that the church would be strong and the elders would be strong and courageous and obey your word and lead under the authority of Christ, the flock, not astray, but to your throne. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.